You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. And this should throw you off. It's me introducing the show. Why? Because I have with me Ben Serple instead of Brittany.
This is the man takeover.
This is it. This is our marriage series, and we are, Ben and I are going to take the husband role, as we should, you know.
We're the best ones to do it.
We are. We are most qualified, you know. We've been called and anointed and appointed, and been doing it for a while.
It's true. I mean, collectively, 60 years.
Almost 60 years collectively.
That's a long marriage.
Yeah.
Put it together.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of stories. It's a lot of stories, a lot of epic attempts at getting it right, and either winning or learning. Those are my options right there.
I'm falling forward.
I'm either winning or I'm learning, and
that's awesome.
I think that would be the most productive approach to take to learning to be a husband.
Yeah,
as a man is if you allow yourself to lose, then you have a competitor, you know? And I'm thinking, well, you know what? I'm my competitor. Yeah. And I'm either better than I was yesterday or I'm learning to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I'm doing.
Just don't stop.
Just
before we kick it off, I'm sitting there thinking about, I love the opportunity to talk to the men in this audience. Because, you know, lots of the phone calls we get and lots of the questions that come in and is often the women for some reason, you know. I think it's the other ones that jump in there. But there's lots of men out there that I do talk to as well that are hungry and want to grow. And that thing you're talking about the learning or winning, they're out there. And I just love the opportunity to pulling the strength that they're carrying around. So, love being here.
Here it is. Here's our opportunity right here.
Let's do it.
And hopefully a bunch of guys get their ears on this one. Today we're talking about husbands in the marriage dyad here. And our role primarily is to provide, protect, and connect. Yep. And that is coming, you know, right out of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In the same ways, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. So there's the context of our talk today. And I've been pouring into the Dragon Slayer draft, you know, and
writing a book.
It's come along nicely, and a big chunk of it is the dragon of man and woman, and it's not necessarily a wife or a spouse or even a girlfriend, as much as it's just the masculine and feminine energy going back and forth, and how they're so different. They're just such a two different dogs and cats. You know, we're just different animals. I think the thing I love is I keep hearing protect, provide, and procreate has the other ones. I think they're trying to make it three P's here, but it just keeps coming up. But I'm switching that procreate to connect because I think it's just a bigger term getting at really the heart here of men, you are called to carry the standard of love in your home. And a lot of times that's abdicated to the feminine side of the relationship, when not realizing that the feminine side is actually energized to a fuller version when the man is the lover.
Yeah.
The man is the one that is taking the role of making sure that we have a heart-to-heart connection going on, not just with the wife, but also with the kids.
Just as you're talking, I'm sitting there thinking about the discussion that Jesus had with his disciples numerous times. They'd come to him and say, all right, Jesus, let us know who's the greatest. If we need to, we can go to the side and talk, and you can tell me it's me, but who's the greatest? They have this discussion over and over again. And every time he says that the one who's the greatest is the one who serves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, I mean, that scripture you just read, everything you're saying here, it just alludes to, man, this is the opportunity to really begin to lead in your home. Mm-hmm. And the way you do that is to lay your life down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that statement you just said a minute ago, that I've said numerous times myself, and it's such a mirror in my face, is the men are meant to carry the standard of love in the home, or set the standard for love in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to say. It's kind of catchy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, you're like, this requires something from me.
Mm-hmm.
There's things in me that have to die so I can show up with that strength that statement requires.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times the guy is kind of sitting around waiting to be loved.
Yes.
You're like, exactly. Well, if you do a good job loving me, then I'll have something to give back to you. Yeah. Like, no, that isn't how this works at all, because she's not your source, she's your target.
Yeah.
And as long as you carry that philosophy in your marriage, then it'll chase you back to God again and again and again, which is really your source.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I've had that conversation with so many people, and men especially.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, hey, I'm happy to meet her needs or lay my life down, so to say, as soon as she does that thing that I'm needing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not love. That's not the example Jesus described in Ephesians.
Yeah. Yeah, that's transactional.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you pay me, then I'll serve you.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not actually how this works. You've been called to fuel her, you know, in many ways. Your life fuels her. This relationship, masculine and feminine, is really, some people that want to call it equal. It's not equal. Men will never have babies. I don't care whatever you talk about that whole thing. But you are a man, and your design is really to complement the woman, and her design is really meant to complement the man. So this complementarism, synergy, going back and forth, is to bring out the fullness of both of you together. That's the whole human being, is this interaction of men being fully men. And what it does is it engages women into this place where they can be fully themselves.
Yeah.
And that really is the ideal of marriage, is creating that space, you know, creating this flourishing space where we are greater than the sum of our parts. So this is, you know, 1 + 1 = 3
mm-hmm.
kind of a deal. You know, the Bible says 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. There's a multiplier on that space. If you create it, if you don't create it, then 1 + 1 = 0.5. You know, you've divided yourself because you fail to recognize the roles.
Yeah.
And the roles literally light each other up, energize them, and open things up that you didn't even know was there.
Yeah. I think even from my story, just with Brittany, as we've gone now, almost 20-year journey and working this thing out, winning or learning,
mm-hmm.
I think when I'm having a hard time when my insecurities are winning and it's I'm not doing well there. Mm-hmm. She feels like she has to actually come in and take over my role because there's things that I'm not bringing to the table. So she just kind of tries to fill in the gaps, which is not fair to her. No. And it's not bringing strength to our family. So that feels like a common experience I hear about as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of a conversation we had with a young man a while ago. He was getting ready to get married. And he asked us to sit down and have a chat with him, bring our strength or learning to him. But you had this phrase that I would love for you to describe for a minute here, that we captured the kind of the essence of his role as a husband. And he's just starting out. So it was sexy butler.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do. Yeah, we were sitting around the campfire with a group of guys, the kind of the groomsmen of the wedding the next day. And the groom, Brian, he says, you got any advice? And I thought for a minute, do I have any advice for a man who's about to enter the journey of marriage? And may or may not remember a word I say because this is, there's a lot coming at him in the next little while. And I just thought, I got to thinking about, you know, how much fun they're going to have in their sex life and how much, you know, how distracting that is for however long, you know. And I thought, you know, he's going to get really caught up in that, but I don't want him to miss the fact that he really is trying to win this woman's heart.
Yeah.
And so I just started telling a story, and I just started talking about how, you know, you're going to be like a couple bunny rabbits, you know, bouncing around from room to room for however long that lasts. And then you're going to get down to what it takes to win her heart, and that really is convince her that you are going to add your strength to create this space between you so that she can be fully woman.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have to be the man. She doesn't have to be the protector or the provider or in charge of the love. You're going to take that job. So I said, you know, your job for the next year is to serve her.
Yeah.
That you become this sexy butler that she believes cares as much or more about her than he does himself.
Yep.
And you will literally be giving up your life to serve her. And sure enough, you know, she gets pregnant right out of the gate, you know, and here we go, because it's all about babies and time and energy and sleeplessness and sacrifice. And he's done a great job. He's done a really great job.
Yeah, and this one's stuck. He still talks about it. So just men, I think regardless.
Because he's such a beautiful human.
Well,
he's just
too.
A handsome. If you put a bow tie on him with his shirt off, I mean, that's, there he is right there.
If he's not at home serving his wife, he's in the gym.
Yeah.
Getting ready to serve his
wife
again, I guess.
Can hardly walk by him and not touch his pecs. They're just there.
Someone's going to send this to him. Oh, that's funny. So there we go.
Yeah.
Just become a sexy butler.
Sexy butler, man. So I think that, you know, the idea of protecting, providing, and connecting, you have to ask yourself, well, you mean like if somebody breaks in the house, you know, then I'm the one that gets up and I don't wake her up and have her go check?
I'm scared too.
Yeah. I'm just as scared as you are. I could die just as easily as you could. It's like really the paradigm that the man is built with, which is I'll go check.
Yeah.
I'll go see. I'll go kill the spider.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
I'll go see what that noise is downstairs or outside or... You know, stay in the car. I'll go look. You know, that really is the masculine heart is, I will go find out. You stay here, and it's supposed to be like that. You know, it just you can. It just sounds silly to say I woke my wife up to go downstairs to check out that noise.
You know? Don't tell us about that. Just start different today. Yeah. It feels like there's even this when men are in touch with that true God-given masculinity, there's something about that that's like, yeah, I got out of the car. Yeah, I got out of the bed. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I was tired.
I was scared.
I did it afraid.
Yeah.
I got those stories.
Yeah. And yeah. I think the idea of protection somehow goes with you're weak. Mm-hmm. So I protect you because you're weak.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that's really a misnomer in so many interpretations of I'm going to protect you. It's much more like I value you so much.
That's important.
I am going to protect you. I will throw myself out in front of whatever the threat is to communicate that value and to behave that value.
Yeah.
Like I want you to know that I would give my life for you.
Yeah.
That's your value. Now, not very many guys are going to have to take a bullet for her or whatever. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it comes all day long. Like this is Paul saying, you know, I lay my life down daily. Yeah, well, I don't know how many times that Paul, you know, he's doing that from prison and wherever else, but we're doing it all day, every day, as part of my commitment to communicate that I value you. I will protect you again and again from me.
Exactly.
I will protect you from the evil in this world, absolutely, and I will protect you from me.
Yep. From my pain, from my insecurities, the things that are not yours to carry.
Yeah.
When that gets out and gets on you, that's not protecting you.
Yeah. I forgot my role.
Yep.
And I'm in violation of it, and I'm going to, you know, reap the whirlwind here. I'm going to gather up consequences in our relationship because I failed in my role.
I think one of the things that you and I have talked about with men, and we watch this a lot, is husbands will kind of be stuck there for a while where they're not protecting their their wife. And then they get it. They find it. But they've spent years creating a mess in their home, in their marriage. Mm-hmm. And so the wife's like, I don't know if I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that there's really change
until
I see it consistently.
And if there's clarity around these roles, a guy better knows what to do. When he's like so vague and so abstract and kind of disoriented around his role, he doesn't really know how to lock on.
Yeah.
And I remember the day that my relationship with Sherry changed, you know, 12, 15 years into the relationship, was the day I learned that she needed me to protect her.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't catch that. I don't know where I missed that. And it's probably because growing up without a dad myself, I never watched a guy protect a woman. I only watched men protect themselves or exploit the women.
Yeah.
And so me being a believer and a Christian, I'm like, okay, of course, I'm supposed to lay my life down. But I thought lay your life down meant avoid conflict, run and hide, you know. And so the idea of stepping into the swing, you know, 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming over the plate, and I'm supposed to step into that. What if it hits me? You know, oh, my gosh. And now I start to learn, oh, her anger is really her fear, her pain, her powerlessness. Yeah. My job is to step in and be there with her in it. That's really all she's needing from me. Clueless, absolutely clueless that was my role as protector, was to step in and stand in that spot and watch her anxiety dissipate before my eyes and end up with a completely different woman long term.
Such a powerful paradigm shift.
Yeah.
The experience for me with Brittany was essentially I wasn't showing up and giving her something to respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just stuck in my own insecurity and own pain and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I actually really stood up to her and said, hey, we need a respectful relationship and I require respect, meaning how you talk to me, how we interact, that needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually created the very thing I was longing for, which was a respectful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it shifted there. When I was willing to say, this is the standard, this is what we're doing, because I just let it get lower and lower for years.
Yep.
So,
totally.
Similar but different.
Protect, provide, you know, provision. A lot of us think it's primarily financial. It's a chunk. That's a chunk. Get your butt out there and get a job, you know. Do a good job paying your bills and budgeting your money and making more than you spend, and you know, learning all that stuff, learning to put money to work for you instead of spending your whole life just working for money. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many aspects of provision that takes the burden off her when you learn it, and ideally you learn it together. So it's a teamwork. You know, it's not just I'll take care of all the money. You just sit over there in the dark, and I'll rain money on you whenever I feel like it. You know, like no, that's an unhealthy dependence. Because if you don't wake up in the morning, where's her financial literacy? Well, she doesn't have any because she abdicated it all to you. So it's really about creating an environment of learning together, mm-hmm. and pulling together. But because of her feminine design, if you will, you know, she's having the children, she's home with the children, she wants to be there with the children, most of them. Mm-hmm. You know, at least if she wants to, she should be able to. If she doesn't want to, like Sherry's like, I remember Brittany said to Sherry one time, you're a better mommy when you work. Like, yeah, it's true, you know, because Sherry is a, you know, she's a slayer. She mm-hmm. wants to get out there and, you know, make things happen. And so that dual role is an offer because she wants to do that. But if she wants to stay home, like I know lots of ladies, they want to slay there. That's mm-hmm. they want to create a space for the kids to have the best leg up in education and nutrition and behavior and self awareness and development. And so, yeah, there you go. We as providers, you know, we create that space or not, mm-hmm. you know, and it seems to be it's a challenge. It is a challenge. And I think a lot of guys are, you know, staring down the barrel of that thing.
Yeah. I think one of the pieces I keep thinking about as you're talking here, and this would flow into all these categories we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was probably 5 years ago now where I picked up this non-negotiable in my life where I have to have men in my life. And I think that's why you're writing a book called Dragon Slayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's certain things happening. It's probably even why we're doing a husband thing right now, because it's such a big part of our heart is strong, healthy men. But I think when I'm linking arms with other men and drawing from their strength, getting their input and help and even their lessons and their mm-hmm. wisdom, I get to bring that home to my family.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm doing it by myself and I'm isolated, I'm actually bringing new strength and new ideas that I wouldn't get otherwise. So yeah. it's a little bit of a different take on this thought, but it just brings a new input into the home.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that opens up the teamwork aspect of a man's life is, yeah, he should be teaming up with his woman, but he also needs to be teaming up with his brothers.
Yeah.
And that has, you know, a lot to do with the, the role of learning from everybody around you.
Yeah.
So you got protector, provider, and connector. And connector has a lot to do with I'm a powerful person, and my goal with you is connection.
Yeah.
And nothing can change that.
Yeah.
And I will never abdicate that my goal with you is connection with my child, with my son, my daughter, my wife. That's always going to be my job.
Regardless of what you do.
No matter what you do, yep. My goal with you is connection.
Yep.
And so I will become a student of connecting with you. I know a lot of guys that are fishermen, and they spend way more time learning how to connect with a fish than they do with the person they're sleeping with.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you better figure this out, gentlemen. You better take, but it'll never be a responsibility until it helps define your role
mm-hmm.
as successful.
Yeah.
So I think we got a couple questions coming up here. So let's get to that.
All right.
as a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth doesn't happen all at once, it happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream. And we've discovered a simple but powerful four-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple four-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time, or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
All right. We have a couple questions that have come in. And first one, what is the most important way you can serve your wife? And how have you built this into your marriage?
So many answers. I'm going to start somewhere that I didn't think I was going to, because I read this question before you read it. But and then you read it to me. But I think I'm actually sitting there thinking about self-awareness and personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's lots of ways I can serve my wife. We talked earlier about I'm setting the standard for love in the home, which looks like something and lives like something.
Yeah. I love this direction.
Yeah. But if I'm not growing, then I'm not actually gonna bring my wife somewhere and learn to serve her at a deeper, higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably one of the biggest ways you can serve her is do a good job stewarding you.
Yeah. Yeah, husbands, no man hated himself.
Yeah.
You know?
That was in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've never read that verse till you read it today. I'm like, I've missed that part before.
Yeah, yeah. No man ever hated himself. Like, well, it's arguable because a lot of men treat other people like they hate themselves.
Yes.
And it's really insecurities, yes. It's inadequacies, it's fears, it's all this turmoil that a man never dealt with. So how do you serve your wife? You love yourself.
Boom.
You get to that spot where you love yourself, not worship yourself. That's a whole another problem.
That's a different podcast. But
you had better love yourself so that in that, with that, you love your woman.
Yep.
And that you want to serve your kids, you want to serve generations, do a great job loving your wife. And it's going to start with, get a clue, dude. Get a clue who you are, why you're here, what you're good at, what you need help with. Learn to ask for help. Listen. Listen. Linda. You know, it's you gotta listen.
That's a great way to serve. Shut up.
Yeah. If you could just shut your fears.
Yes.
Just shut your fears. And listen and let her influence you. Let her give you some feedback. Let her steer you in a decision, in a moment, in your relationship with her. Trust her. Let her tell you the truth. And the truth isn't judging you. The truth is, how is she experiencing you? Let her affect you. And you'll be on such a better ground. You know, you'll be standing on a rock because you've learned the truth, and then she will trust you because she can truth you. She can tell you the truth, and it's going to super help you in the next decisions that you make because you're not an idiot. You're not trying to mess this up.
That's right.
You're actually trying to do a great job. But if you have bad information because you limited your information to yourself, mm-hmm. you're going to make a big mistake.
I'm a horrible guesser. So if I'm left to assumption, mm-hmm. so yeah, I need some truth. As you're talking, I'm thinking about a conversation Britt and I had in a coaching session recently with a couple. And to make a couple of sessions long, to make that short, we essentially are listening to him describing how he's trying not to say this, but he's saying it's her fault. Mm-hmm. The mess in their marriage is her fault. And yeah. I looked at him and said, where did you lose your confidence? When did that go away? Because with that, the ability to actually be vulnerable and be affected, actually hear the truth, feels like it's missing. So when I'm not confident, I'm a mess. I actually become dangerous mm-hmm. to my environment and myself.
Yeah.
So the question for him was, where did you lose your confidence? And he's having a hard time with it because he's like, I'm not the problem. But he was getting there. But that's part of my story too, is I was like, I put this down somewhere. I got to find it again. Mm-hmm. And then Brittany starts saying things like, your confidence is sexy. Let's keep that on the surface because mm-hmm. that's attractive and that's the man that I married.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much true with anything that you do in life, from riding a bull to snowboarding to just trying to draw a straight line. If you lose your confidence, it's over.
Yep.
It's just over. You're off the bull. You're off the board. You're off the line. It's just, you've got to see yourself being successful.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to know what success is. And I think a bunch of guys just don't know what successful serving is or successful connection looks like, largely due to a lot of poor examples. Mm-hmm. Life, Hollywood, church, just look around, workplace. You better surround yourself with guys that are really good at providing, protecting, and connecting. And if you look around and you say, wow, I'm the best one of all my friends at this, run away. Run away. You are being dissolved by your social environment. Get around people that call you up, that are doing a way better job, whose wives shine with adoration for their men.
Yep.
Like, okay, like, where is that? Yep. Go get you some friends that have wives like that. Yep. Because those guys have figured out, I am going to nourish and cherish this lady. Yep. And it's going to work out really great for me. Yep. And they're absolutely right.
Awesome. So become self-aware, mm-hmm. Personal growth, go after that stuff, and then just watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I read the next question to you?
Sure.
All right. I'm a single guy and feel somewhat afraid to become a husband because there seems to be so much pressure. How do I navigate this?
Oh, you have no idea what's waiting for you. You're about to get your butt handed to you. On a platter. You just have no idea how much pressure. You're imagining. Multiply that times 100. Okay? Yep. So that tells me that I don't really understand what it means to love somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you love somebody, you climb the highest mountain. I'm going to sing a song here. You know, cross the widest ocean. You know, I'm just going to.
Here we go.
There's just nothing that can stop me. Yeah, nothing can stop me. That's what happens to you. I think probably the greatest example is when you have a baby. Yeah, when you have a baby, not you, but I mean, when she has a baby, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. And the things that you're about to learn about your capacity to love is going to stun you. You are going to be a different human being. In 20 years, you will not recognize how much that relationship has changed you. Yeah. Marriage, on top of that, is maybe children are the multiplier to marriage relationships, yeah, because in marriage is the same thing. If you'll keep your love on, if you don't keep your love on, you will start acting like you married the wrong person, mm, right? And you married the wrong person because you turned this person into the wrong person.
Yeah.
You treat this person like they're the wrong person. And that's when the goal of distance happens. You set the other person up to fail. Yeah. So if you'll learn how to love really well, and I don't know a better way to do it than to commit your life to another person,
yep,
and then have some children that are just kind of random. Like, you get to pick the person you married. You get to pick the person you marry. You don't get to pick the children that show up in the relationship. You just get kind of...
Here they come.
You get random pack. You know, it's just like, okay, let's see how different we can make these people. But if you can learn how to love someone and then keep your love on,
yep,
then it's not about the pressure. It's about the experience.
Yep.
And there's nothing like it.
Yeah, because if we avoid pressure, we wouldn't do anything, really.
Which is probably, a temptation for this young man is to, yep, just throttle down to an idol as often as possible.
And just try and avoid commitment, because that looks like pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And try to avoid discomfort.
Yeah. I think the other thing I'm thinking about just with this question is, we watch young couples all the time, married or just married and then just having their first baby. And, I think about, like, there's a couple a while ago in our young marriage class at church, and they were just exhausted. And they both have a job that don't have kids yet, and they just cannot believe it. Like, where do we find more time? Where's the time at? And I'm thinking, we have three kids. We're running this class. We're both have a job. We're mm-hmm. you just do, I think. But it's a capacity building experience,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's one of the things that gave me hope early on. Just watching older, wiser men around me is, I feel like I've filled my capacity. At some level, I have for this season.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Lord opens a new door and he expands my tent pegs and the capacity grows. And then, okay, I have a child now. Okay, the child, I have the capacity to raise this one child.
Mm-hmm.
I have two children. Oh my goodness. Can we do this? Right. We have a third, some people have 10 kids. But the capacity opportunity, I think it's meant to be this progression that which alludes back to the last question, that I'm growing. I'm always growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of this too is just the hope and the understanding that if you'll stay committed and you stay connected to that covenant, your capacity will continue to grow with you as new opportunities show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you don't have some mechanism in your life that moves you past yourself, mm-hmm. then you get weaker, you get more afraid, and you get isolated.
Yeah.
And so you have to have something in your life that keeps pulling you into the fray, into the challenge, into the battle, into the resistance. If you don't have a mechanism that's doing that, and some guys, maybe a young guy starts a business. Well, that'll kick your butt. Mm-hmm. That'll keep you in it. It's like, okay, that's one way to keep from becoming an isolated coward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's going to happen to you if you keep avoiding the resistance.
Yeah.
Is you're just going to end up not even protecting yourself.
Yeah.
And you're not ready for a relationship. Please don't get married. Please stay away from all the ladies out there, because that, you've done a great job of being dangerous.
Yeah.
You are a scared little boy who is going to look for a mommy,
yeah,
and she's going to be a sad lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's a common dynamic we see play out all the time.
Yeah, I think about generations past, and they had wars. I mean, there's literal wars that young men, young 18-year-old men were drafted into a war, and they're put into this herd in these extreme conditions where somebody's just screaming at them, and you know, they have to physically get out there and grow up, and they build a bond together. Mm-hmm. You know, so in essence, that's really their first marriage, if you will, is this identity, this group identity as a unit. And they're trained to protect each other, to provide for each other, and stay connected to each other. So in a lot of ways, that was marriage training. And you know, and the success, the tools for success were built into going through that experience. I see generations now of young men who are less and less and less and less are required of them, and they can get away with being increasingly self-centered. And I think, wow, you know, we better fix this problem. And so that's why I think that getting yourself around men that you admire, around men that are going places that you want to go, that have accomplished the levels of love, of self-awareness, of generosity, of service that you want to achieve in your life, that's where it's at now. You know, you have to like go get it. Nobody's going to make you do it. Generations past, drill sergeants made you do it, you know. But today it's really something you have to foster in freedom.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for whatever reason is a scary proposition, because a bunch of people won't do it.
And I think the flip side of this, or the other side of the same coin you're describing, is I think of the phrase that boys become men when men invite them into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the men listening to this that feel like they have moved down the line, they have gained some success, and that's some things to give away, they've kind of developed their healthy masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Go find some young men and invite them into it.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them what you've done. Let them be around you and watch what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Let them watch your marriage experience and parenting dynamics, you know, because mm-hmm. I've had lots of young men talk to me that we just invite in our home, and they're like, there's something about the way you and Brittany talk to each other I've never experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that you parent Delaney, it was often in the early days of youth ministry too, I had all these young men in our team. And so it's just, that's part of it too, I think, is as you're getting down the line, you're getting some success from men in front of you, turn around mm-hmm. and grab the men behind you too.
Yeah. I mean, one of the taglines in the Dragon Slayers is, you know, we're looking at a generation of orphans. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to raise up a army of fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
And we really have got to have men who take that kind of responsibility. And they look around and they say, you, come here. Yeah. And you, come here. And I think that really is the solution, is that we build these structures of men who become brothers to one another, and they just won't let each other be a doof. I just won't let you be a dweeb. You know, get over here, knock it off. What are you doing? Just quit whining. Get in there and love her.
Yeah.
Get back in there and win the heart of your daughter. What is the matter with you? You are better than this. You know, there's got to be a support structure around men that actually turn them into more mature men with momentum, men on a mission. I mean, it's only going to come from a troop of healthy men.
Yeah. And you need to build it when you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So on the bad day, it's already set up.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to build on the bad day.
No. And you're not going to need it on a good day.
No.
You're going to need it on that bad day.
Yeah.
You're going to need your brothers calling you and going, hey, where are you?
Yeah.
What happened? What are we doing now?
Come on, man. Let's do this.
Awesome. All right, Ben. I think we covered this subject today. And
I'm encouraged.
I hear that the women are going to do this. Brittany and Sherry are going to talk Uh-oh. About their wives. I hope they talk about the wives and not about the husbands. Okay.
It's true the whole time.
I hope that's what happens. Well, we'll see. All right.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.